Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 57, entitled Conscious Millionaire, we chat with business expert, entrepreneur, and podcast host, JV Crum III. All right, guys, we're live. I'm Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is JV Crum III from ConsciousMillionaire.com. JV, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, Justin, thanks for having me. I love your show. It's thanks for all the work you're doing out there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm pretty excited to have you on today. You definitely have a good eclectic background and a lot of business kind of ventures you've done over the years. Did you want to kind of briefly talk about, you know, how you got your first $1 million and how you became a millionaire at age, 25?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, it actually begins in my case at age 5 because I grew up in this little country town in the center of Florida. And our family, like everybody else, just kind of struggled. You know, we had a hard time getting along. Everybody did. There were maybe 200 or 300 people who lived in this little village. But it was actually a kind of a beautiful place. It was on a 4x5 mile lake. And I kind of grew up making sandcastles, cutting my foot on mussels because it was in Florida. So there are little mussels in the, you know, jumping off the dock. I had a cane pole because we didn't have enough money for those rod and reels. That was very fancy. And it was also a pretty strict household. Like, you didn't come to breakfast if your bed wasn't made. So at the time, I hated all that. But now I go, well, that had a lot to do with me being successful because I learned that you had to, you know, there were guidelines. You had to meet them. You had to, you know, take care of yourself. You had to be self-reliant. But I was also taught to be very polite and not to ask for the candy bar when we went to the grocery store because, you know, mom didn't want to have to say no in front of people. So whatever was on the list, that's what we get. So I'd always kind of, like, as a little kid, I'd hope and pray, I hope mommy put candy on the list today. I hope we were really going to have candy when we go home, you know, how we all do. And one day I said, you know, I've been watching television and, you know, seeing all these rich people, and they were living in these nice homes with these limousines and flying on the planes. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, they had a wonderful life. And I'm going, you know, like, I think that's the life I want. What is wrong with this picture that we, you know, how I'm living? This is not how I want to live the rest of my life. So, you know, as a little kid, you're willing to believe you can become a king or a queen or an action hero. You're going to save the world or whatever. So I said to myself, as any little kid would, what's the answer to this problem? I went, I know, I'll become a millionaire. So I ran into the house. I told my parents, like, I had discovered water on Earth. And now we're all going to be drinking water. I go, when I grow up, I'm going to be a millionaire. And my mom shook her fingers at me and she says, don't tell anybody. So, of course, being a good little boy, I told everybody in town that I was going to be growing up to being a millionaire. And I was friends with all the little old ladies. Their husbands had died, but, you know, they had moved down from the north. And, you know, I would go around and I'd talk to them. And I can see I went by James at the time, not JV. And they probably, you know, patted me on the back and kind of winked at each other. When James grows up, he's going to be a millionaire. But it never fazed me at all. From that moment on, I was absolutely certain that this was my destiny. So if we kind of fast forward, when I was 25, I made the first million. I had a 4-story luxury townhouse on the water, the Mercedes, the trips to Europe, everything. And it actually only took me 3 months. And one day I was standing in the living room and it was just like it was yesterday right now. I was looking at it. I was on a bay, so I was back on the water, but I had a fancy house. So I guess that made it okay. And after all, it was a bay, not a lake. But there were palm trees. There were people on sailboats. And I looked out and I said, you know, I'm really pretty miserable. And I'm not feeling very fulfilled. And was kind of contemplating, like, what's wrong with everything? And then I said the magic sentence. I said, you know, I don't even like myself and I'm horrible at relationships. And that was about when I realized in a 60-second period that my life was kind of a wreck. I just managed to make some money. And so I think that especially in the West and especially in the United States, we kind of have this fantasy dream that we don't even analyze. And I bought into it at 5, that if you had $1 million, everything else is perfect. You know, you've got the perfect life. You're totally fulfilled. You're happy. This is utopia. And so what was such a stark contrast was I was realizing that wasn't true for me. And this was my moment of, you know, kind of awakening. And from that point forward, I was running off like to sweat lodges and spiritual retreats and Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer and reading all these personal growth books, trying to figure out, well, what's missing in my life? Now, it took me a while, but I finally figured out what was missing is I didn't have any purpose, that I was making money, but I didn't have any real meaning to my life. There was kind of just feeling like I was empty and that there was something I was supposed to be doing with my life that I wasn't doing.
Awesome, man. There's a lot of great topics that you touched on there. Obviously, an incredible introduction to your story. How did you make that first million, though? Was it in real estate investments?
Yeah, no, sure. Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of times things happen differently than you're expecting them. So I was driven that I was going to make the $1 million, but I actually had no idea how I was going to do it. And what's really important in life, and I think what makes for a successful life, is to pay attention to what feels authentic for you at every moment. So I was finishing a master's in clinical psych, and I was home visiting my parents while I was doing my thesis. And my dad had always had lots of challenges in business. You know, just never could get things going. So he had a trucking line, and he and I had lots of talks, which I had absolutely no interest in whatsoever. And, you know, he said, you know, like, I really want you to come help me and be a part of this. And I'm going, well, this just isn't what I was planning. I've now decided I'm going to law school. So that's really what I want to do. But I deeply loved my dad. And after a month of those conversations, I said, I'll come back and I'll work with you for 6 months and then I'll go to law school. Well, I kind of took over the management day one, and I'd never read a business book or article, taken a business course, because I grew up, it's really interesting how we encode things, because I've been an entrepreneur all my life now, is that I grew up where everybody owned a little business, but nobody made any money. So I said to myself as a little kid, well, I'm going to be a millionaire, but it's not going to be in business, because that's how you go broke. That's how you struggle. I don't want to do that. But I wasn't sure what it was going to be. I thought it was going to go to med school. And then when I decided not to go to med school, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, I really like logic, so I'll go to law school, which ultimately I did go to law school. So the thing was, it was like duck to water. It's just somehow I knew from the very beginning what to do. And in a very short period of time, within 3 months, there was this one week, and it was another aha, you know, kind of this one's even funnier when I look back, because I'm a numbers guy. I ultimately got a law degree specializing in tax law. And so I pored over the numbers, because we were pulling hundreds of loads every week, but we didn't have any money in the bank. In fact, we were always in debt constantly. And I said, well, something doesn't make any sense. So I pored over the numbers and I looked at everything. And then there was that moment on Sunday evening when I called my dad and I go, you know, Dad, I figured it out. You know, it's like, I'm going to be a millionaire when I grow up, right? And well, now I figured out another thing. I said, every week we take in less money than we pay out. Now, when you look back, you kind of go almost big duh. But in business, what I have discovered is that a lot of times the real answer is very simple, but you as the business owner have a hard time seeing it, because you're so busy with the trees that you don't understand. That's why I have a coach. That's why I coach people, because you can't see your business in the same way. So in a way, I was kind of stepping back and going, wait a minute, something is just wrong here. And the next morning I called and I raised our rates as much as 25% to our clients. And after a month of that, well, things all of a sudden, we're beginning to have something called cash flow. And I said, okay, well, now there's some more problems here, because we're taking all the equipment to people to fix. They keep it for a week. I'm looking at the bills, and I'm just, you know, kind of having that inkling that these just look like they're charging us too much. When they say I fix this, this, and this, I'm going, I don't think it's that difficult. I think this is way too much. So I said, Dad, okay, I think we need to start another business. So we started a maintenance company, went out and hired two maintenance people, leased a maintenance building and on a piece of property where we could put all our equipment. And I got with them and we created preventative maintenance programs so that every piece of equipment was seen every 30 days and was checked for certain things. And all of a sudden our costs, which are one of our big costs, was maintaining equipment, went through the floor. So now our rates are up and our costs are going down. And very quickly, you know, by the end of the first year, there were 9 years worth of liens. I paid all of those off. You know, we were making six figures. And within 3 years, we were making as much as six figure profits in a month. And the way I did that is now what I do with businesses is I really put good, solid systems in place, processes for everything we did had a process. So it was constantly done the same way. All the maintenance was done the same way. How we hired a driver, how we trained a driver, you know, how every bill was sent out, how everything was done for payroll. Everything had a process to it. And once we got those in place, then it was easy to scale. And that's one of the big things that's missing from most businesses. I work with a lot of companies wanting to go from 6 to 7 figures, or they want to double their 7-figure company. And the thing is that you've got to get your processes right. And if you don't have those right, you absolutely cannot scale and you cannot increase your profits in a big way.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things you talk about as well is scaling. Did you want to kind of touch on that a little more?
Well, you know, when I looked back, I think one of the big scaling pieces initially, because let's say you have a company and you're trying to get the 6 figures, you're trying to put a foundation in, or you've got 6 and you're trying to go to 7 or double the 7, is the scaling is you've got to look at a process for every piece of the company. So you have a process for how you do your marketing. That way you can test it and see, does it work? You have a process for how you take a client through a closing piece so that you can go, okay, well, this seems to work or this doesn't seem to work. So I need to change it. Maybe I need to change my language. Maybe I need to change my steps. But once you get it where it's working, then when you hire more people, you want to be able to train them to do it exactly the same way so that everybody who's doing the same task, like sometimes we'd have 2 or 3 people in our administrative part of the company that would be doing, say, billing, and they would just be rotating that they did bill different accounts. But they coded it the same way. They put it ultimately in, we ended up with computerizing very early on. So they put it in the computer the same way. They did their checks and balances the same way. They filed it the same way. You know, they printed it out and checked it the same way. So that it didn't matter who did it. It was all going to be done the same way. And we found ways that were the most efficient ways to do them. The other thing that I realized is that I was making decisions in precisely the same way. In fact, when I was writing my book, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business, you know, by Making a Difference, my editor says, you've got to go back and you've got to add into this, which now it's the first part of chapter one. You've got to add your personal story and you've got to explain why everything happened. For instance, you know, I put the story in about my mom shaking her fingers and saying, don't tell anybody. And I said, well, why did she do that? Well, we lived across the street from the little country church, and we went to church 3 times a week, even if we're the only people there on Wednesday night. So my parents were very, very smart, but they were hindered, and a lot of people are hindered by this, by they'd connected that not having money was actually better, made you a good person, and that people who were rich, like they must have done something criminal or taken advantage of people or been kind of a shyster or they weren't totally honest. And so what she was really saying wasn't that I don't want you to grow up to, you know, to be wealthy. She was saying because she had wealth connected to, you know, being a bad person, I don't want my son to grow up and be a bad person. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at the business, it took me about 6 months to analyze what was I doing? How did I make decisions? How was I able to shift things so quickly? Oftentimes in a day's, you know, in a day, I would make a whole lot of changes that, you know, really moved us forward. And I realized I was making the same decisions over and over again. And by the same decisions, I mean, I had the same process. I was only using 3 steps, and those steps are conscious, focused action. So in the conscious part, I was constantly looking and evaluating what's really going on here and where do I really want to go? What's the result that I want? And do I have all the resources? Do I need to go get some more resources? And what are the, you know, what's the best path for probably getting there? And then I would get highly focused, but not just my mind. I would just throw, you know, my whole heart into it. I was totally committed that I was going to find this answer. Kind of like that weekend that I took the whole weekend to go, I got to find this answer out about why it is we're putting so much money in the bank, pulling so many loads, and we constantly don't have any money. There's something totally wrong, right? So the focus part is not just your mind, it's your heart, but it's also your body, which is why I have a podcast, the second podcast on health and fitness. You've got to be you've got to constantly be ready and capable of taking action. You've got to be able to move fast when you want to get to your result. And then the action part here's the three steps. And if you're listening to this, I'm going to give you an ebook today. It's got every bit of this. It's got diagrams. It's got examples. It's got, you know, coaching so you can apply it to your business. But I want to take you through the steps. The first thing you do is you go, I want this result. So you list out all the steps that you think you're going to take, all the actions. And then the second thing is you put them in the order that you think you need to take them. And usually what happens then is you'll notice that there's some pieces missing. Like between step 3 and 4, you might have assumed some stuff and it's like it's in your head, but it's not written down. So then if you were going to have a good process and you're going to teach it to somebody else, or you're going to be able to check it off, yes, I got that done, I got that done, I got that done, you need it written down in the order it's going to occur. And third, you've got to ask yourself, does something have to happen before one of these actions? Like, let's say you're making a landing page today. You may need some graphics for that landing page. So you outsource the graphics. You got to get the graphics back before you can put the landing page up. And you got to have the landing page up before you can do the launch for somebody to go look at the product, right? So there's certain steps that have to happen, but there are things that might have to happen before the next step occurs. And you got to be really, really keenly aware of that, because if you need something tomorrow, you've got to have that graphic made today. You can't have tomorrow morning you're trying to get the graphic made, because maybe you don't get it back till the following day and now you're all off course. So once you get clear about the actions, then you just focused action is that you only take the focused actions that are going to get you to that really one result that you're going for that's highly measured. It's very specific. You know exactly when you want to get there. And what I found with clients is a lot of times you get rid of about 80% of the actions you were taking that were absolutely worthless actions. And why were they worthless? Because they didn't take you where you wanted to go. There's no need to put time, money, and energy into anything in your business that's not going to get you to the specific results you want. But you can't do that until you get conscious of what that result is. And I realized I was doing that over and over and over again. And that's why we were moving forward so fast.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
And just kind of talking more about the creating wealth part, do you have any like actionable tips as far as, you know, online entrepreneurs listening to this podcast who are thinking about taking that next step? Like maybe they have a blog or a website and they put up a lot of great content, a lot of great articles, or maybe even a podcast, but they want to start monetizing. Like what are some actionable steps they can take to really bring it to the next level and create wealth?
What I want to do is I want to take you back to where I think is the beginning, because I have been on so many shows and I've had done so many calls with entrepreneurs, and it's the second year, it's the third year, it's the fourth year, and they're not yet at 100,000, you know, in income. And in fact, about 95% of businesses that are started never get to 100,000. And I've been analyzing this and asking, well, why is that? My answer, which I've really clear about, and I'm putting together a program that we're going to be launching that'll get, you know, entrepreneurs from 0 to 100,000 in 12 months, so that then they've got a really established business, and then we can help them go from 6 to 12 to the 7 figures. So here's the big thing, is that most people are focused on the next tactic. So it's like, okay, I got a blog, now how do I monetize this? How do I do that? But they've never built a foundation for anything. And that foundation part is really getting clear about your direction for you. And the only way to do that is to start by asking about who you are. I call that your true north. What is that passionate difference that you really want to be making, that you have some natural strengths that will allow you to do it? Going out and getting clear about the one, not the two, not the three, not the five, the one target market you want to work with, and why do you want to work with them? And part of it needs to be an answer that they have the kind of problems that not only can you solve, but you are super excited by those problems. And they want them solved right now, and they have the money to pay for it. So you've got to take that difference you want to be making out there, go find people who want that difference, but not every target market is made equally. You've got to analyze at least two or three different target markets to find one that you can grow with. And I think the criteria you should be asking is, can this target market support my having a seven-figure business? Because that should be your goal. If you really want to be a conscious millionaire, you've got to build a $1 million business, right? You've got to start from the beginning, getting clear about that direction, who it is that you're going to be helping, and then building one product or one product and service that you learn how to market and you learn how to close, you learn how to sell. And what I find is most entrepreneurs who are not yet at that 100,000 level, they're asking the wrong questions. They're asking, how do I go find the next tactic to use? When the real question should be coming back to the foundation and getting clear about your real direction.
That's pretty solid, man. It makes total sense. I'm sure a lot of guys are, listening are probably like, wow, that seems really simple, but yet they probably overlooked it. I mean,
because what I've been telling people lately is like, look, if you would take 30 days and put your foundation together, get that done correctly, the rest of it's going to be much easier, because now everything, you now have criteria for all your decisions you want to make. Like, does it serve getting to this one result? I want to put this out. I want to plant this seed in your mind. Let's say that you're at zero right now, that you don't even have any revenue, that you're even starting up a business. If you were to come to work 5 days a week for 50 weeks, let's say you took 2 weeks off and you actually didn't work weekends, which I'll just tell you, I think is kind of phenomenal when you're starting a business, because I work more than 5 days a week. But let's just say you work 250 days a week and every day you came to work, and the one question you ask yourself is, what do I need to do today to put $100,000 in the bank my first 12 months or over the next 12 months? You have an established business. Wouldn't it be a very high probability that you would do that if that was the only question you were asking yourself and that was the only result that you were going for 250 days? Don't you think you'd get good at answering that question?
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be distracted by a lot of the other things out there that I think takes up a lot of time.
What I find is a lot of people are going in 10, 15 different directions. I did a complimentary coaching call with someone recently, and I went to their website before to take a look at it. And they literally had 4 different target markets that they were discussing. And I'm going, wow, like, what is this business about? And I asked them, and it turned out in over a year, they hadn't had any revenue, which actually I wasn't shocked by. And I said, well, you've got 4 completely different unrelated things you're talking about on this one website. I said, why'd you do that? And the answer was, well, I figured all these different people would come and then they would choose what they liked. And then there would be more people who chose one. And you can kind of see some logic to this, except it's not going to work. And I'll just wait for them, to let me know what kind of business I should be in. I said, okay, here's the deal. I said, you're not the right client for me to be working with, because you're not at a stage that I work with anybody, one-on-one at that level. I said, but what I want to do is I want to help you out. And they did it. And I was really excited for them. I said, I want to hear from you in 24 hours. You've got 24 hours to choose one of these groups, because all 4 of them were ones that you could make money at. And none of them didn't make sense, but you can't do all 4 of them. I said, you got one of them. And by the way, you got to choose something in 24 hours that you're going to work with for the next 3 years. And you're going to know that market inside and out. And you better be excited about that market. And then you're going to throw the others away and you're going to start building a real business. And I heard from the person, and in 24 hours, they were totally excited. They said, I've decided which one it is. It's this one. This is why I chose them. I'm really excited to work with them. I said, great. Now, here's your next steps. And I gave them some, some coaching back as to what they needed to do. That's an example. That's what you've got to do.
No, it makes a lot of sense, man. And actually, when I first started my blog out, it was specifically dating. Like, a lot of people are kind of like, or even maybe people listening are like, well, Justin, you have a, Elite Man magazine. It's a blog about, health, fitness, dating, lifestyle, all sorts of random topics. But for 2 years, it was actually just a dating blog. So, I mean, that's kind of how I built it up. And that's kind of what my niche was in the dating specific arena. And from there, after I kind of got established and stuff, started making money through it, I transitioned into some other topics off of that, branched off of it. But I think you're right. I think you really have to kind of figure out exactly what your target market is and exactly one kind of niche to really go after, one set of people to really target your information to, your product to, whatever that may be?
Well, you've got to be conscious, focused action. The only way to take conscious, focused action is to choose a laser focused result. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is that they get all hung up in whatever was the last webinar they saw. And they go, oh, wow, this is really cool. Yeah, it is really cool. But if you don't know where you're headed, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you got to get the engine going in one direction. You got to get on the road that's going where you want to go. And you got to get working with people that are, you know, and making that decision about the target market. One of the biggest questions you ought to ask yourself is working with this kind of person with this kind of problem, am I going to be energized? Am I going to be excited every day? You know, I work only with people who've been successful and they want to be a lot more successful. That person really excites me because I love taking people to new levels. But you've got to get to some level before you can go to another level. And if you've never gotten to any level, I'm not the best person to work with you for, because that's not the person that's going to energize me. But there'll be somebody else out there that's fabulous at working with that person because it energizes them. You've got to pay attention to what energizes you and only go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes a lot of sense, man. Like, it's really hard to get passionate about something that you're just not passionate about, that you don't really care about. So, I mean, if you have a bunch of different topics or something out there that you're talking about, or, you know, that you think you want to like speak to a certain audience or a group of people and you're not really dedicated to that, it's probably not a good idea to really spend your time and energy trying to make that work. Do you have any other ideas or kind of information as far as creating a product? Should you stick to one product?
You need to go out and survey. I'm huge on surveying. Surveying, and there are many different ways. I mean, I use SurveyMonkey. I love that. There's a free version to the program. I send out surveys on a regular basis to the people on my, you know, in my community, on my list. But there are many ways you can go out and survey in person. You can do phone calls. You need to survey your prospects. Even if you're starting out, you've got to go find out about what their big problems are, how they want them solved. And you got to give them options like, oh, I'd really like this information product, or I'd like a coaching program, or I'd like to be part of a group. And then ask them, well, what are the specific things that are most bothering you? You know, so that you get crystal clear about the one, two, or three top problems that your group seems to have. They appear over and over and over and over again, right? And then create one product, do lean design, just create the basic, most basic problem product you can that will solve those problems, get it out there, start testing it. And I think the best way, the best answer in the marketplace is, does somebody buy it? If somebody doesn't buy what you want, it doesn't matter what they said when you surveyed them, you still didn't hit the mark. Because if you hit the mark, they'd be buying it. That just makes sense. So I look at it this way. There's a certain set of skills that you've got to have for building a business. One of them is you've got to understand and choose the right target market. You've got to understand their problems, and you've got to build a product or a service that will solve that problem or those top two or three problems. You've got to learn how to attract them, which is marketing. Marketing isn't about selling at all. Marketing is about attracting people, and you've got to learn how to close them. If you can't close one product, having five products isn't going to make any more difference. It's not going to make you any more money. Get good at solving one set of problems with one product or service that you get good at selling to your market, and you find the price at which people want it. Now you can spend money attracting them, marketing them, paying so much X per lead, because now you've got some data that you're beginning to collect on how many people come in or are going to close. And until you can do that with one product, you can't do it with two or three or four or five products. So learn how to do everything with one set of, you know, one set of processes going on, so that you really get good at creating those processes so they work right.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense, man. And I'm sure you're big with email marketing. It sounds like fits kind of right in with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We bring people in with lead gens, and then we have a sequence, and that sequence will take them to perhaps having a call with me, which could be a coach, which could lead to coaching or putting them in a group. It leads to a webinar at the end of it. So we have all of that, and that's all email. So I think email marketing, you know, somebody actually wanted to put a blog on my a post on my blog. They wanted to do an article. They sent me about how email marketing was dead. Well, I wouldn't post it because I don't believe that, because I use it, and every friend that I have in information marketing uses email marketing. You've just got to use email marketing in a way that's specific and that delivers value. That's, if you do that, it's not dead at all.
Yeah, I still think it's the best way to generate income, generate sales. I mean, you have that personal connection with people that you don't really get elsewhere, I feel like.
Well, absolutely, Justin. And also, you know, we talk about, I mean, I have, you know, large number of followers on my different social media, but I don't own that list at all. At any moment, I could be shut down and not have that list. But if I have an email list, and then we use a CRM and we have it automatically back up the list every week, so that I have that list at all times. I own the list. Now I can go back and contact those people because they gave me permission and I have a relationship with them. But if you don't own the list and you don't own it with social media, any day you could get shut down and they can legally do that.
Yeah. And not to mention too, like even if the, you know, the giant people with Facebook followings of like 100,000 or a million, even those people, yeah, I think it's something like 1-5% of your list on like Facebook is like, or even Twitter is like hit with, say a post or something like that. Like a lot of those people aren't getting that message across, and it's not, you know, individualized to that person as an email.
Right. It's, yeah. You've got to build your email list. It's critical.
What are some of the things you do to people who have already bought from you off your email list? Like, is there any follow-up kind of process you put them through?
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody who's purchased from us, you know, we consider that person to be one of our best leads, and that we really want to stay in touch with them. We want to offer them other things that are going to be relevant for them, and including bringing in webinars from people who have the kinds of products that my community is going to want that can, they can use. So we want to make sure that they're aware of the things that are going to be useful to them, which is different than asking the question, how can I just sell them more things? The real question is, how can I add more value that's relevant to the kind of value that they came to me for in the first place? So how do I keep adding value to them so that their lives, their businesses are enhanced and they're going to new levels? That should be your core question.
What does conscious mean to you? I mean, you ask this question a lot on your podcast. I wanted to ask you.
It's actually my favorite question. I just added it up. We're very soon going to do our 400th interview just for that podcast, not including the health podcast.
Awesome, man.
So I'm going to give you the answer that comes from my book, because there's really three, what I discovered. I wrote the book 7 times, and about the 5th time, I realized that I was using conscious more than one way, and I better figure it out and tell the reader, or they were going to be confused. So one way I use conscious is really pure awareness. And now that awareness can be how business works. Awareness can be what your target market's problems are. Awareness can be, you know, what's the best next step for you. So it's really making your decisions from a place of awareness that's really heightened because you're paying attention. The second way is, I think of it as visionary or higher consciousness. Think of a Steve Jobs creating an iPhone. Right? He didn't do that by surveying people, but he connected to a greater understanding. Great music, great art, all great innovation comes, whether the person's calling it that or not, from expanding your consciousness. And we've all had the experience of doing that, where we just felt like we were connected to a bigger set of ideas than we normally are. That's what I mean by visionary consciousness. You can think about a leader of a business, of a country, any kind of leader. If you really think of them as really taking you into a new place, you call them a visionary leader. So that's what I'm talking about. And then the third way that I use conscious is as socially conscious. And that's a huge trend today. Socially conscious can include eating organic food, eating healthy food. It can be, you know, being mindful of what you do with your waste products so that you're recycling. It can be caring about other people, and socially conscious businesses will create products and services that solve big problems, like how do we take polluted water and make it drinkable again? How do we take land that's, you know, seems like it's destroyed and make it arable? How are we going to feed people all over the world? Now, there's obviously lots of money to be made from solving those kinds of problems. So the socially conscious approach is bringing them together. So, you know, those are the three ways that I think of conscious.
Awesome, man. And just sort of wrapping things up, is there any future or immediate future plans in the next year or two that you have coming ahead?
Wow. I have a lot of plans for the next year or two. Right now, we're beginning the process of putting together a Conscious Millionaire Academy. And what we're designing is something that can have thousands of people come in, and that's our goal. We're on the first step. We teach you, even if you don't have a business, how to go from zero to 100,000 and build that business quickly and build it so you have a foundation so that once you get to that six figures, now we can talk to you about how do you go from six to seven figures, and at seven figures, how do you double it? All focusing on the same things, which are really the right process, is getting the clear direction, learning how to get there fast, and putting the right processes in from the beginning so that you've got the foundation to scale the business and build it quickly.
It's been a really great interview, man. Is there any last parting words or send-off you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to give you the ebook, The Conscious Millionaire ebook on the formula for creating wealth. And you can just go to consciousmillionaire.com/wealth formula. So there's no hyphen, no spaces. It's just consciousmillionaire.com/wealth formula. And it's a 60-page ebook. It's got diagrams. It has coaching in it. And best of all, it's got a link in it where you can go. And we originally charged $97 for these. Now I give them completely for free. There's 16 videos that you can watch about how you use this information to build your business.
JV, thanks again, man, for coming on. I appreciate that. I know our listeners are really going to enjoy this interview. So thanks again, man, for coming on, and take care.
Justin, thank you very much.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.